regarding the Concordia Club some information? I don't have the minutes. My grandfather, if you want to write this down, Emanuel Schweitzer, was one of the original members of the Concordia Club, which was established in 1874. Period. Ironically, soon after the club was established, he resigned from the club for the reason that they gambled playing cards. This grandfather, Emanuel, became the editor and owner of a German Sunday newspaper that was published in Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, I tried to find a copy of his paper, but was unsuccessful. He died in 1887, leaving four children.
Did he marry a Pittsburgher?
My grandfather? Mm-hmm. No. He married Rosalie Schweitzer. I gave you the name Shire. They married in Philadelphia.
That's the one.
Yes. They married in Philadelphia and had four children. I think I mentioned them. Clara, Millie, Paul, and Milton. Now, Alice Grafner, Paul married Emanuel Grafner's sister-in-law, Claire, who died in childbirth. Alice Grafner, who lives in Squirrel Hill, was the daughter of Emanuel Grafner, who had a jewelry business on Liberty Avenue. And I think I mentioned that the Alfred Rodelheim, who was one of the brothers, I told you had a is a professor of constitutional law at Yale.
Alvin, could you tell us a bit about your life as a child growing up in Pittsburgh with you?
I was born on Euclid Avenue, close to Highland Park. On around 1908, our family bought a modest home on Eveline Street. In the Garfield area. Strangely enough, across the street from us was an open field known as Lynch's Farm. O.W. Lynch, the owner, had a barn and a farmhouse. Even though the area was an urban area and not a farming community, we lived on Eveline Street until 1920, at which time I was sent to Brown University, Providence, Rhode Island, from which school I graduated. period.
Were your parents active in any synagogue activities while you were growing up? Did they belong?
We belonged to Rhoda Shalom Temple, and on my mother's side, my great grandmother's brother was a rabbi in Baltimore, and later in Philadelphia, and later in Brooklyn.
I believe you mentioned Tree of Life Synagogue in
Tree of Life, yes. Alice Grafter, Alice Grafter's grandfather I think was the rabbi at the Tree of Life Synagogue prior to Dr. Coffey's regime. Dr. Coffey was one of the early, Rudolf Coffey was one of the early rabbis at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Oakland. But prior to that, I think Alice Grafter's grandfather was the rabbi. I could find out, or you could call her and she could fill you in with the information. She lives in Pittsburgh.
Did you yourself and your brother go to Sunday school?
Yes, I was confirmed in Rhoda Shalom Temple when I was 16 years of age. In those days, there were no bar mitzvahs in the temple. Later, I know that they have them when the boys become 13. I think 13 is the age.
Where did you go to? Did you go to public high school?
I graduated from Shenley High School in 1920, and sought out a college on my own, and selected the Brown University. And last year I attended the. Let's see, this is 1990. A year ago, I attended my 65th reunion.
That's wonderful.
We had about 14 of us there at the time, and I doubt if there'll be enough left to attend the 70th reunion, but anyhow, we had our 65th. It was very enjoyable.
Did Ernest go to Shenley High School also?
Ernest went to Shenley High School and attended the University of Michigan. My youngest brother, Richard, was a graduate of Princeton University. He died from multiple sclerosis, and as a result, I became active in establishing the Pittsburgh Multiple Sclerosis Society, which still does work and has an office in Pittsburgh.
It's very active.
And strangely enough, this particular society did not join the National Society, although the National Society also acts as a sort of rival, having its own office in Pittsburgh.
How did you feel about that?
Well, there was some controversy about it, but when it comes to philanthropic causes, you know, there's no blood and dagger and thunder.
Did you growing up encounter much anti-Semitism or your family?
Yeah.
Either in your neighborhood or
not to any extent, but there's a very interesting anecdote I could tell you in that connection. When our family moved to Eveline Street and resided there for a short time, my mother encountered a little fat lad near our house and asked him his name. His reply was, Mifflin Jacobs, comma, no Jew. Actually, that happened. Apparently, his family, who had a name that could be construed as Jewish, instructed him to make sure that he was not identified as a Jew. That's the extent of the anti-Semitism. You ask and you got that one
good story.
One little,
fairly fortunate on that. You're fairly fortunate.
But
now, why you were
but
doing...
so far as anti-Semitism is concerned, there was a degree of it. We used to play ball in the alley back of our house, and occasionally we heard epithets against the Jewish boys, I guess, to that extent, but it was not of serious consequence. But I went to Shenley and graduated there, and the more interesting part about it was that I had my choice of going to Shenley High School or Peabody. Our home was about equidistant from both those schools, so I chose Shenley because it was the new school. It had only been opened about 6 months before I went there. And at that time, not that I feel at all bigoted about it, but the student body was almost all white. Today it's about 75% black.
Change,
yes.
Neighborhoods do change.
Yes, well, neighborhoods change. I think the same applies to Peabody. But I did not go to a private school. My brother, Richard, was a Shadyside Academy graduate. And as I say, he went to Princeton and died at an early age.
Now, refresh my memory. While you were going to high school, even while you were in college, what business was your father in? Was he in the wholesale floor covering by that time?
I think I mentioned before that my father and his older brother Felix originally were factory representatives, for furniture factories. And an interesting part about their first business was that they had an office in a building known as the Lewis Block, which is the previous site of Gimbel's department store. The Lewis Block was the predecessor location of Gimbel Brothers at the corner of 6th and Smithfield. And I remember as a little boy going to their office. And, as I said before, my father and his oldest brother helped establish the retail furniture business for their two younger brothers, Morris and Leo. And that business was dissolved a number of years ago. And that's the way it remains.
Did you have a major in college?
My major was English, although I took quite a number of courses in economics. One of my English instructors was a man by the name of Percy Marks, M-A-R-K-S, who wrote a book which is available in the libraries by the name of The Plastic Age. He wrote this book because of the recent success of F. Scott Fitzgerald's book, which was known as This Side of Paradise. That book received considerable acclaim because of its exotic descriptions of college students' lives, which seemed to eventuate at that time.
Interesting. Simon, we'd be interested in, after you graduate from college, your courtship and marriage.
Well, I was married.
Your family life.
I was married in 1930 for the first time and was divorced about 5 or 6 years later, and remarried in 1951.
Were there children by the first marriage?
No children by the first marriage. I have 2 children by my present marriage. Mm-hmm. Both of them live in Florida. My daughter is not married, and my son is married and lives in Florida.
What is your present wife's name?
My present wife's name, Yvette, Y-V-E-T-T-E. She's...
You married her in...
Married her in Pittsburgh. She was divorced. She had married an army officer and was divorced in this country. And she's Parisian. She's born in Paris.
Oh, interesting.
Speaks French, of course, fluently. Also Italian and Spanish. So she's quite talented as a linguist.
I presume she is not Jewish?
Right? She's not Jewish, no. She's not Jewish. She has a degree from the Sorbonne, yes. Also one from the University of Florence.
The University of Florence?
Florence in Italy.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Did you say you were married in 1951 to Yvette?
Yes, my present marriage.
And you have 2 children.
2 children, yes.
Your daughter, what is her name?
Rosalie.
Rosalie. And your son?
Richard. Rosalie was married... Rosalie was named after her great-grandmother. I told you Rosalie, her name was Rosalie Schweitzer, and her husband, Emmanuel, was editor of the German paper in Pittsburgh. And I think I mentioned that he was in the theater when Lincoln was shot?
No.
No.
Yes. That's rather an interesting thing. He was on a newspaper mission in Washington at the time and was in Ford's Theater when Abraham Lincoln was shot. And to mention about the Civil War pension.
No, he didn't.
No. Well, Congress, the United States Congress, passed an act. I have the certificate somewhere. I don't know what happened to it. An interesting document. Awarding every widow of Civil War veterans a pension of $14 per month plus $4 per month for every child under 16. My mother, my own mother at the time, was 18, but my grandmother, having three other children under the age of 18, received $4 per month for every one of these children, which meant that she received a total of, well, $22 a month, I guess that would be, for, in 1890, and was partly enough to support her as a widow with her four children. And of course, two of the sons, when they were old enough, went to work.
What part of the city did you live in when you...
The family lived on the north side of Pittsburgh.
Your family?
My mother's family.
No,
we're talking about after you married and had your present wife.
You and Yvette, where did you live?
Well, my first residence after I was married was on Woodmont Street in Squirrel Hill.
I lived there,
And then... When I was married in 1951, we bought a home on Bigelow Boulevard, five houses down from Shunley High School, between Baird Street and Center Avenue. Then we moved to the Winchester Apartments when it was first built. Then moved to the Atrium Apartments in Oakland, and then moved here. But we spend half of our time in our Florida home in Allendale, Florida. Mm. So this is like almost like a temporary abode here.
Tell us a little bit about Richard.
Richard was a practicing attorney with the firm of Strasburger and McKenna in Pittsburgh. And unfortunately, had multiple sclerosis and died. And I mentioned Ernest, who had the one son, whose son lives in Israel.
I meant your son, Richard.
Well, my son Richard is married, lives in Florida. He has no children.
You have a profession?
He works for a real estate developer.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ivan, tell us a bit, I don't know which to ask first, about your business career. And
well,
famous in Pittsburgh for being a bridge player.
Well, I wouldn't. You see, I think it was Socrates who said, "Know thyself." And I try to know myself. Well, I have a certain reputation as a bridge player, being Pittsburgh's first life master. Properly, I never regarded myself as a star bridge player. And I say that without false modesty, knowing a number of the contestants who were really star players. So that's, but my interest remains in bridge.
You still play?
Yes, and I was originally, I guess, one of the first president of the Pittsburgh Bridge Association.
Is that on Craig Street?
Well, that's where they hold their Friday night games. I don't know that they have an office, but earlier I was more active in the workings of bridge and was a vice president of the National Association. But officially I have very little to do with it today. I play bridge. I play bridge quite a lot. But not
I'm
many officials.
You still play competitively.
Yes, I don't go to many tournaments anymore.
No.
You get to the point where you're not as active, you don't get around as much.
What did you need to become a life master? You said you were the first life master in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's an interesting and a rather boring story. The master point was a brainchild of a man named McKinney, who wrote a bridge column on a national basis and who became the president of the American Bridge Association, and whose, as I say, brainchild was the master point, which is a slip of paper awarded to winners of duplicate games throughout the United States. His idea was to request that they send these slips of paper to him for 10 cents. He would award them a master point, and as a result made for him the accumulation of master points his profession. After a time, some of the early bridge players objected to his professional acquisitiveness and refused to send these papers. Having done that, that ended his career as a professional on that basis. But bridge has remained as a unique phenomenon, and it is the only game of cards which is played internationally and which has resulted in the formation of an organization from which emanates bridge tournaments and duplicate games throughout the world. They have their headquarters in New York City and has become professionally a national organization. Bridge in itself is a unique phenomenon. While it's a card game, it's something unique in that it is not exactly a card game, but in essence is a game played with cards.
There is a big semantic difference there.
Yes, there is a certain difference. Any more questions? That about ends?
I have a lot of questions.
You do, but this about ends this tape.
Well.
So that you have about 10 more feet on the tape.
Well, whatever you want.
So I think we should come back.
whatever you say.
Can we come back?